In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, let's go. Global Edition, John 99 FM, ESPN. The show emanates from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Grateful to have Leaders as our studio sponsor. I was there last week. Great people out at Leaders. They're your financial champions, not just employees out at Leaders. And again, we are so grateful to put out the good word on them. It's game week. Just 5 days away from kickoff for just about everybody that has a college football team not named Florida State, Georgia Tech. I suppose we did see North Alabama and SEMO go this week. At least some of us watched it. I was looking ahead.
I like it.
Trying to scout.
I like it.
So I'll tell you about, I guess that'll be FCS. North Alabama, who comes into this one 0-1. Yeah. I did my homework there. Mike Norvell. Ended poorly. Last season, you could say tragically. It was taken away from him. It's starting bad this year. Starting real bad.
It's too painful. It's painful.
It started good for Florida State. I said, whoa. Did you see the way they were running all down Georgia Tech's throat?
Yeah.
I said, ooh, wee, Memphis better be able to tackle in 3 weeks. And then it flipped quickly. And we'll talk about how we feel, both about Mike Norvell and Florida State after losing that game, but also as it relates to Memphis, which, as we mentioned, will be playing them in 3 weeks. Flirtations, Big 12, UConn, that's all happening. It's a pretty eventful weekend.
Cooper Flagg signed with a shoe sponsor.
Yeah, he teased that.
Shoe company. Very disappointing news for the Whites. There's no question about, well, at least this White.
I think he was a little early there. Maybe he could have held off a little bit.
Yeah, that was, you know.
A premature on the signing, I think.
I really do. I think about that Star Wars scene where it's Anakin and I guess maybe it's Obi-Wan. I'm not a Star Wars guy, but there's a scene where he says, you were the chosen one. You were sent to bring balance to the Force.
Yeah.
And you not joined them, you know, like that. That was.
I don't want to ruin your tease. I do own a pair. They're very comfortable.
I know.
But I thought he could do.
But you're, you know, you
who's
have
the agent.
You have old white man.
Who would be the?
That's
agent
half of you, man.
Who's earned Cooper Flagg's, representation?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm sure that's been
that's
done for quite
one.
Some time.
Yeah, I bet.
But unfortunate news, for the. For swag, for white man swag in 2024. Thought we might have some. We do not.
Maybe he'll turn it into something.
I don't think so. I saw that ad. That ad looked lame as hell.
Mm.
I do want to say thanks for holding down on Friday. I was obviously out. My brother got married on Friday.
We congratulated Jeremy.
So want to congratulate my brother Jeremy and his lovely wife Brenda on the nuptials. It was a beautiful ceremony, and was a privilege to be a part of it. So it was a great day on Friday. Back in the saddle this week. Got Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock.
Got a few.
So we'll hand those out.
Respect.
Look, I think if you had been there, you know, there's a high likelihood that you would have given me a Respect Burger for my best man speech.
Oh, yeah?
And the reason why I say that is not because I think it was just like some amazing, incredible speech.
Mm-hmm.
I had been drinking, and so I probably stumbled over some things. But I did it completely off the dome with no notes, no phone, no reading, no nothing.
Man,
and I hit all my points. that I wanted to hit.
Okay, good. So, I mean, you are a professional.
Yeah, you know. That's true. But I think I think you know, if people were there, I think they would say I was more preaching than I was maybe giving a speech.
Oh, really?
But
we have some video of that somewhere and we can
yeah,
see someday.
I don't know. Someday. We'll have
to. Oh, I'm proud of you, man.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a good day. It was a good day for sure. So we'll do Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock, and then Jason Fitz is back on schedule. He'll join us at 1:25. He has a new song. He released a song. Yeah. He is a musician. Where's that school? Gilliard? Where'd he go? I think that's
Juilliard.
Juilliard, yeah. The prestigious
School of Music.
Yeah, that's in Nashville, right?
I don't believe it's in Nashville.
Okay, I'm just making stuff up on a
pretty
Monday.
Much.
Okay.
But Gilliard. There may be a Gilliard in Nashville.
I know there's a Jacob Gilliard that played for the Grizzlies.
Okay.
Juilliard. It's in New York. Okay, so he went to that school in New York.
It's just a little off.
Not Nashville, but he does live and reside in Nashville.
Yes.
He's got a new song. So we'll get into that as well as some NFL. Preseason is up. It's over with. We are full steam ahead. 2 weeks out. 2 weeks out.
Still
from
got some organizations that haven't named starters.
Yeah, we're still waiting on a couple.
Gonna wait a little bit.
Yeah, so we'll touch on that here momentarily. So that is the show today. Looking forward to it. But college football's underway. Preseason is up. We got a lot to get to. Let's do a little thing we call cap or no cap.
Cap. It means lion, but built different now. It's cap.
I'm going to say cap.
For no cap.
I'm going to say that's no cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Georgia Tech and the Yellow Jackets ruined it for Memphis. Cap or no cap?
I mean, I was disappointed, so I could easily say no cap. It's cap. It's not completely ruined, but that was I was telling somebody else as I was watching the game, I don't care if they win it close, you just need them to win. What you don't want them doing is dropping, and what you know is going to happen at some point. I'm eager to see the new poll, how far Florida State drops. Do they drop out? I don't think Georgia Tech had was receiving any votes. That said, you know, and a lot of times there'll be that sort of course correction early on where some voters will say, based on what you guys just gave up, it was over 5 yards a carry. I mean, defensively, they didn't look all that great. DJ Uiagalelei looked less than no explosive plays other than in the run game whatsoever. And so you just wonder, are they even going to, you know, I could see them being 23-24, though.
Right.
But the point was you didn't want them to drop. It was more of a free swing for Memphis when they were the team that you expected to come back from Dublin, you know, 1-0. I mean, that's what it was. And so you lose. Yeah, it loses some shine. It doesn't change things, though. You can still get an impressive win over Florida State. You could still play them well. They just won't be, you know, what it could have been in terms of shot at them, right? I mean, that's the key there. The mask has been taken off them. So even if you beat them, you won't get the same level of credit that you would have gotten had they come over 1-0. And, you know, early on you're watching that game and it's all about, man, I think Memphis might, especially offensively, Memphis might stack up with it. Well, now it doesn't represent the same sort of shot and opportunity because they obviously, like I said, have had the mask taken off.
Yeah, we got to keep it a buck. That was devastating. It just was.
It doesn't ruin Memphis' season, though, right?
Isn't that the
spirit of the question?
Yeah, no, I think, yes.
It's more about the
game. It's about
game. Oh, yeah.
You know, like, Memphis' season is definitely about much more than this game. But to me, it makes the game itself valueless. That's kind of how I feel about it.
Well, I wouldn't go less. I wouldn't say there's no value.
Okay, well,
yeah.
I'm willing to listen. Much less than we
clearly
anticipated,
yes,
right?
It comes down quite a bit.
Because
good chance they won't be ranked.
I think they will probably be hanging on just because they were 10th. But, I mean, it'll be like 23rd.
Well, they
got
to take care of business next couple of weeks, don't they? I mean, at this point. Now, do they have two before
I think they have one. I think they just have one, yeah. And it's against
the bye
game. Then
they got an off week before
you. Yeah. So I think they will hang on. Although, again, you know, when you have this game on your schedule and you're talking about it all summer long, you're thinking this could be a real crack.
It's not the crack right now that Oregon is for Boise State.
Yep. It is certainly not.
That comes down.
It is certainly not.
You were holding them up as equal.
It is certainly
in terms
not of that.
The team you're battling for group of five.
And now if you lose the game, you can't even sit there and say, well, they're a top 10 team. What do you expect? They're just a sort of normal Power 5 team, as far as I'm concerned now, that is not going to contend for the playoff. That's what they are. And so I think, again, Memphis can't predict what's going to happen. They can't predict that Georgia Tech's going to go, you know, and again, this was not a home game for Florida State. This was a neutral game, and it was weird because both teams got there super late in the week, and it was just odd. The whole thing was really odd. But DJ Uiagalelei looks like a bad fit for Mike Norvell. Can't throw the ball down the field. And, you know, it's just not the Florida State team that you hoped you were getting. So, it doesn't ruin the season for Memphis, but it certainly, I think, you know, this had the chance to be something, you know, maybe a watershed moment, you know, a top five team.
No, the reason you can't say it's over, if Memphis beats them and goes undefeated, you're still looking great.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
Period. That's why you don't say it's over for Memphis at this point, because Florida, you know, they don't say valueless, but it takes quite a bit of the punch out of the game 3 weeks from now.
And the other part of that is it probably wakes up Florida State that they know now that they can't afford another unranked loss or else their season truly is over. So they're going to be coming into this one with antennas way, way up, especially at home. I mean, they were probably going to do that anyway, but...
Again, it's Memphis, Norvell. Norvell can't lose to Memphis. I would tell you they were going to be up anyway, but you're right. I mean, now they're backed into a corner. Where I would completely agree with you.
I think it made Memphis's upset chances a little bit harder. Is kind of where I would come down on it.
I'd agree with you there.
You know, because I think like there was.
I mean, they're going to have a run game that Memphis is going to have to stop.
Memphis has to show.
I mean, saw it early on against Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech did a great job adjusting
because
they looked
did.
Like they were about to get trucked.
They did
the entire game, and you got to give them credit.
They played sound defense. They played physical defense. Can Memphis do that?
Well, remember that they went and got a new defensive coordinator. They were so bad last year. Sounds similar to the story you got here, and so that's going to be key. Obviously, they're going to be hitting you with. I don't care. Yeah, they've come down a level, it looks like, but that's still ACC athletes. Mike Norvell's recruited well. They're going to try to hit you in the mouth early. It's going to be whether or not you can tackle for four quarters against them and stay in there and stay in that fight because, you know, ultimately they can run the ball, dude. Like, they got guys to run the ball.
I mean,
they won't need DJ necessarily against, you know, if Memphis's defense isn't vastly improved. I could see them coming in here and, you know, running for 200, 300 yards.
Yeah, like,
but
I think
hopefully that's a new defense led by Jordan Hankins and. You know, you're sort of picking up what you left off against Iowa State.
I think there's basically no chance that Memphis holds Florida State to 108 yards rushing. I mean, I think there's just no chance.
And they got so many of those in the first quarter.
That's true. They did.
Georgia Tech. I mean, that's what I'm saying. They schemed them up the rest of the way. I mean, it's you know, and tackled.
That's
what you're going to have to do.
Like that's just not how Memphis is going to win games.
Uiagalelei is not going to take shots.
Right.
Like, that's just not him. I'm surprised he didn't run more, but I guess we see. You know, he looks the part, but it has never clicked for him, no matter where he's been.
And now Norvell's calling him out, so it's like it just kind of
What did Norvell say?
He says he's got to be more explosive.
Well, he did.
You know, he's got to be.
Take more.
This offense has
like
to be more explosive.
Oh, he's trying not to lose the game.
But what I ask Mike is, did you not watch DJ? Like, did you not? Like, why did you think he would come to
well,
you?
Well, and we got to ask a question about, you know, they replaced Keon Coleman, a lot of speed receivers. We asked questions about, you know, separation and everything else. But DJ was less than inspiring.
There's no doubt.
I saw a lot that said, if we can put pressure on them, we're gonna beat them.
Yeah,
it ain't gonna be as easy just because we watch Georgia Tech playing pretty head up.
I mean, absolutely not.
I expect Memphis's offense to be better than Georgia Tech's. It's ranked that way,
right?
But it's gonna be about defensively. Can you be as improved as Georgia Tech was on that side of the ball?
Right.
You know, 3 weeks. You got a couple of. A couple of games to get ready for.
Also, like here's another sort of piece, and I know people are going to be mad because we're talking about this, but you know Georgia Tech had 190 rushing yards against Florida State. Memphis will not.
Well, that was not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Florida State's defense was still supposed to be there. At least the quality athlete they got. Yeah, I didn't expect to see that. I think I was just as shocked to see that as I was by the sort of turnaround in that game early on.
Yep.
When again it started just like we've.
Exactly.
Like, I thought it would go.
Yeah, Florida State gets down the field. They do what they're supposed to do.
I thought they'd feel disrespected,
and then
especially
they do the
last
fake field
year.
Goal.
Right, the fake field goal. They go, they went for two to start.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. I mean, they're coming out to make a statement. They're mad about last year.
Yeah.
Like, and he's going to have a running game and everything else. And it just all wilted pretty quickly.
Yeah. So, look, I thought there was, you know, that was not a lot of greatness for Memphis in terms of news.
But there's still, I won't say a lot to be gained, but there's still plenty to be gained from a win over Florida State or even playing them close.
Yeah.
You know, so long as Boise State takes it on the head against Oregon.
Yeah. No, look, it's not that game, but it's still a brand, you know, and you're getting a $1.3 million check for it. That's the best part of it. You're getting a $1.3 million check for it. And whatever else happens, it happens. But you're getting paid. All right, we got to start with Memphis's opponent this week. You want to jump around. You want to jump ahead 2 weeks. You know, that's not good. That's not good news for Memphis. Nobody needs that. We got a game this weekend.
The season's over.
We got a game this weekend, and then they got a game against Troy before they go to Tallahassee. So you just need to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis football will cover the spread against North Alabama, which I believe we'll use a consensus number here of 38. Cap or no cap?
That is no cap. Memphis will cover the number. Well, a couple of years ago, they beat them 50-something to nothing, I think. I watched North Alabama, so you didn't have to. One to see just what that offense looked like. They've got an athlete at quarterback, Ari Patu. He's an athlete, but he is not much of a quarterback. 12 of 24 threw 100 yards. He also rushed for 52, threw two picks, and fumbled it once. Semo pretty much after playing them 8-7 there early in the first quarter, Semo pretty much took over that game. There's nothing about this North Alabama. They got a running back named Juice who ran for 100 yards. It's going to be a deal. Tackle him. Shut down this quarterback from trying to do off-script stuff, and you should absolutely roll in this game. I mean, this Memphis team that we have picked to win the AAC, everyone else has, they should absolutely win this game going away, especially the fact they did it 2 years ago.
Yeah, 59-0 was the...
That's what I thought.
Although
basically 60 and none.
I think that
the same
North Alabama team... Is it the same quarterback?
Oh, well, I'm saying for us.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. Patu.
No, the quarterback for North Alabama that day was Noah Walters, who went 6 of 19 for 24 yards and two picks.
Well, this guy might be better than that.
I do think...
But I'm telling you, because he's an athlete.
Because I remember this number being like in the 50s. Like, this was like a 48-point line.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so like, North Alabama has gotten better since then.
Yeah, they got a couple of running backs. Javion Allen, they call him Juice Allen.
But my gut is that, listen, you gotta that Troy game's interesting, right? I mean, that's going to be a real game.
They won back-to-back conference champs?
Yeah.
But aren't they replacing quite a bit?
Yes, they are.
They're still highly thought of.
They are. They certainly are. But I would say Memphis probably uses this game to just, like, let Seth air it out, right? And just... Puts up 60.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see Seth air it out for about two and a half, three quarters, and then I'd like to see some backups play.
Well, it ain't your boy.
Cade.
It ain't him. He lost the job. Harris Boyd time.
Well, let's see Harris get out there and get some action, because like I was texting you coming here, you've been pretty fortunate. I mean, Seth's played through some stuff and showed you how much of a warrior he is.
Yeah.
But you have been absolutely fortunate to have avoided serious injury or prolonged missed time with him. And, yeah, I'd love to pencil him in for every game this year. But the fact that you're talking about 4 years here, four-year starter, and nothing serious, I'd want to have my backup, I'd want to feel comfortable that if he has to go in there, we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
So a game like this against an FCS that you should handle easily, yeah, I'd like to see my backups out there.
Yeah.
See your boy Harris Boyd?
Yeah, that would be the only...
Let's go.
Harris Boyd, not Boyd Harris. I know that's kind of confusing because it's two last names. It's Harris Boyd. That would be the only thing I'm concerned of. It would be like, okay, you put the backups in a little early, and it's like, they have a backdoor cover here.
Well, I watched the coach's show last night, also in preparation.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Ryan Satterfield had his debut.
Yeah.
Brandon Thomas is still on this team.
Wow.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I heard Ryan, after about going through two, three running backs, you still got Brandon Thomas. Do you remember Brandon Thomas against Mississippi State a couple years ago? Like, at one point, we had crowned that dude. We thought, and then all of a sudden, was fumbles, injury. The guy's still here as, like, the third, fourth back. I thought that was crazy. Listen, I'd forgotten. We hadn't mentioned Brandon Thomas at all.
Right.
This priest, because you got to get through Mario. You got to get through Sutton. But they had DeRozier's or whatever his name is. And Jay Ducker's gone. But you still got Brandon Thomas. You remember Brandon? Brandon had a good year,
dude. I do kind of remember.
That first year was good. And I think I want to tell you, he had a great game against Mississippi State.
COVID deal. But you know who I saw this weekend?
They're deep in the backfield. Go ahead.
Blake Watson.
I watched him, too.
He led the Broncos in carries this weekend.
Yeah, how'd he do, though?
He was this close to a touchdown, bro.
But they took it away from him. They threw it to the fullback. Did you see the block he threw on the touchdown?
Yeah,
though?
No, he's been great.
He chipped the defense, put him on the ground.
They were raving about him.
So he should make the team.
He had a goal line run where he hit the outside, stiff arm the first defender.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Got him off, but he couldn't quite get the second one off, and he was tackled probably inside the 1 yard line. I mean, it was like he was almost in.
Was that the play that set up the The touchdown play then?
No, that,
okay, that was later
was,
on. Then.
Yeah, that was in like the third
They played
or fourth
him quite
quarter.
A bit then.
Yeah.
He was an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, they guaranteed him $250.
He's going to make the team.
I think he is. I think that's the idea. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, they guaranteed
him $250. We thought he had a shot, but you're still talking about a UDA, man.
Exactly.
You know, making the team. That's
I think
he's looked good. I saw him catching. He's caught passes. He's shown off everything. But what I thought was key was the chip block he threw on the end to show him, I can do this too.
Yes.
You know, because that's where a guy his size is going to be questioned in the NFL.
Yeah, Blake had a 33-yard catch and run earlier in the preseason. He was this close to a touchdown through that block, like you mentioned. I think he is going to make the
he's done everything possible.
Yeah. So that's my guess. My guess is he'll
man, be the shout out Blake. I heard Mario talking about being the next one, you know, behind
I mean,
him.
At the very least, what, he's on the practice squad?
I would hope so. At the you least. Know? At the least.
Anybody but he already got that $250 guarantee. So he's
if they
straight.
Cut him, somebody gonna pick him up.
He's straight. Cool. Anyway, yeah, we both have Memphis minus 38.
Said that about Blake Watson. First time we saw him here, we said the way he moves those legs, he's all
he's
business. He
NFL
does not,
running back.
Does not waste any time, motion whatsoever.
No doubt.
So efficient.
UConn and the Huskies should go to the Big 12. That was some news that was reported over the weekend. It was later, Pete Thamel threw some water on it. I think Brett Murphy was the initial reporter on the story about UConn being in talks to go to the Big 12. And then Pete Thamel said, whoa, lot of hoops that we still have to jump through.
Their AD went down to Dallas and talked, and that's sort of been the news pick that they've jumped it off on again.
So
we know Yor Marks had his eye on him for a while.
Yes, and, you know, obviously the Big East is, you know, they're dependent on that brand and they're for basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Should UConn go to the Big 12?
I mean, should they? I could argue, sure, for them, but why for – I mean, they'd be joining what would essentially be the best conference in basketball. Again, what's the value of that? Yor Marks thinks it's higher than you think it is. And when I'm saying you, the presidents, the country, the markets, everything else, that basketball brand and what it could mean to the Big 12 in terms of television rights. The issue is their television rights deal, I just read, is not up till 31 or 32. So you're a while off from even being able to negotiate again in terms of the Big 12 and media rights deals on the basketball side. And we know that's the only place where UConn brings value. They've talked about it. They would need five, six years to get their football program up to snuff. I mean, there's a part of this story where it just feels so unfair that they're even being considered. Not that this is new information. We knew it when Memphis, when Yor Marks reportedly was flirting, coming here or not coming here, that the apple of his eye was UConn. But it's so unfortunate that, you know, when Memphis a few years ago tried to, quote-unquote, buy its way into the Big East or whatever else it was, people were knocking on us. Then SMU does it, and it gets cool. Here's a case where, you know, they're telling – UConn's valuable enough because, what, the basketball program.
Yep.
Right? But they've always told us, what, football is it. That's why you can't get in, little Memphis. And now they're, you know, Brett Yor Marks considering bringing in a program that's got negative value in football because he likes the basketball so much. He just figures, like, they're going to – whenever they come to you, they're going to give you a reason that doesn't apply to everyone else. There's that part of this story that, you know, you feel bad that Yor Marks not still considering or flirting with you. All that said – Big 12 should not want to do this right now, period. UConn should. You know, you're talking about sharing revenue, getting into a power conference that's going to be able to give athletes $21 million a year. You want to be a part of that, ultimately.
Yep.
You can't do that on your own. And so, yeah, UConn should. I would, as Ralph Russo wrote for the AP, though, if I'm the Big 12, I'd hold up. Just doesn't seem like Yor Marks, you know. Like patience doesn't apply here.
Yeah, it sounds like just from the UConn side, you know, driver of this is football, which is the ever constant reminder that even for an athletic department that has won two straight national championships in basketball, they still want to leave their league to build football because they know, even as Yor Marks is saying basketball is going to be a driver for our television contracts, the reality is that this is yet again another move about football. Because obviously, you know, what are they, independent? I guess the UConn is still doing the independent thing. So they want to build their football program up. They say they'll be able to do it. You know, it's just yet another sort of domino that just clearly does not involve Memphis whatsoever. You know, that's the other part of it that's depressing, because that's not a spot that is going to be occupied by you. in the Big East if UConn ultimately decides to leave. In fact, I mean, that was a spot you would hope to be in contention to have in the Big 12,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you would like to be you actually have a football program. You won a, you know, the Liberty Bowl against Iowa State, which is a Big 12 team, last season. You were in a Cotton Bowl not long ago, and it's just like you're not on the radar. You're not on the radar whatsoever. Now, again, Brett Yormark is saying this is a basketball decision.
But he's still got to convince his presidents of that, and he doesn't have enough right now in terms of support.
Yeah.
Because in the end, John, you're sharing. You're sharing money, media rights money, with another school when you bring in
right,
one.
Right.
You're breaking in four new ones this year. You just got done with the with updating this thing, adding four teams. What, especially if you don't, and I just looked it up. Your media rights deal, basketball, is not up till 2031. And so why would you rush to bring in UConn, who you're going to have to share with? They don't deserve a piece of this pie right now. You're going to have to share with until at least 2031, when then you can get a new basketball television rights deal. Doesn't make any sense. And so Yormark, I get it. He's telling us, hey, there's a future of basketball and the money that it can make us, but you're still way off from that time, and so he's going to have a hard time convincing presidents that it should happen right now, maybe down the line.
Yeah,
it was UConn flying to Dallas. Like, we know Yormark loves him, but
right.
I think even he knows I can't rush this through right now.
Yeah, I suspect that they'll end up going down the road. Yeah, and then Memphis is going to be stuck, bro.
We got Arizona State, Colorado, Utah. Where about get all this settled first, and then, you know, let the dust settle on that, and you can discuss UConn.
So where are we? Where's our hope for Memphis? ACC? Is that where
we're? Yeah, we're going to hope that the ACC makes a push for us and UConn after that thing blows up. But Florida State ain't going anywhere anytime soon anyway. That's not happening anytime soon either.
Yeah.
That's still on down the road.
Yeah.
So everybody just calm down.
All right. The Patriots, the New England Patriots, who were on Sunday Night Football last night with Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth. I guess they got to get some...
I missed all that.
Yeah, they got to...
I bet they hated that.
Yeah, they got to get some work in, too, I guess. Got to get the dress rehearsal. But the New England Patriots should start Drake May. Cap or no cap?
That's cap. Don't put him out there. Same thing as Mac Jones. And listen, I didn't have a hell of a lot of faith in Mac Jones, but what was even more clear was that they didn't have a plan at all for him. And so what are we going to do? We're going to throw Drake May out there, throw him out to the wolves right now when you don't have any semblance of weapons. Who knows how well you can protect him? You got a kid that you know likes to run, too. He's going to feel like it's going to be 1-on-11. Going to feel like he's playing 11 guys. Jacoby Brissett is the sacrificial lamb. He's there for a reason to take a beating. Remember, too, the Patriots aren't like the Commanders. The Patriots want to get another high pick. They want to tank, okay? And that's another reason why you throw Jacoby Brissett out there and you don't throw Drake May out there. And I know that's hard to tell a locker room. We're going out there to lose. They haven't told them that, but that's the plan.
Yep.
Best believe it.
Yep.
They got to get talent in there to put around Drake May before you throw him out there to the wolves. You're going to get that guy killed, or at the very least, you're going to ruin him like you ruined any chance of Mac Jones succeeding.
Yep.
Period. No, he shouldn't start.
I couldn't agree with you more.
There's some situations
boring,
where you shouldn't do it.
Period. Yeah, like, I just...
This is a no-brainer. You don't throw him out there yet. They're a mess.
I watched the whole game. That was the second straight game that the Patriots starters were out there against the other team's second and third team. And they could not hold on or do enough to win the game. Now, obviously, at some point, your second, third go out there, but point is, you're not building enough of a float with your first team offense to where your second and third team can
be doing that kid a disservice.
And that's really, they've really been one of the worst teams, one of the only teams that I've seen not be able to do that. Not be able to, okay, first team against second string and third string, not be able to go out there and, like the Titans yesterday. Titans go out there against the Saints. You saw what they did with that first team offense. They moved the ball whenever they wanted to. They could have picked the number.
I was scouting that one too.
Yeah. And the Patriots can't do that. Brissett is horrible. He is beyond washed, and now he might be hurt. But the reality of the situation is that offensive line was, dude, it was so bad.
That's what I thought.
It was so bad that the official who threw a flag, bro, he announced the penalty like this. Illegal formation, once again, left tackle, number 77. May said once again.
He was fed up.
He said once again. Yeah. Now, I've never heard that,
yeah.
Okay? But that's the point, is that we've already seen this organization ruin Mac Jones.
Yep.
We already saw it.
And you could tie that to Bill, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you can't tie this one to him.
No, you can't tie this one.
Don't do it. Don't repeat history.
That's exactly right. Because you know what?
New coach.
Mac Jones in Jacksonville looks like a new man.
I saw a little bit of him. It had a little confidence to him, didn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Now, I don't know what level of defense he was going against.
That's a fair question.
I mean,
it's second and third teams.
Right?
Yeah, no, yeah. It's true. But, you know, that's the point, is that organizationally, you've already ruined a top five draft pick.
1,000%.
You can't risk that again.
No, and the history is recent.
Yes.
Like, learn from it.
Like, you paid Jacoby.
And they have.
He knows the score. He knows what's up. He knows he's not the future. So go out there, take your hits, take your beating, get paid a nice salary for it.
I'm telling you right now, Mayo won't live through it either. He just like Jacoby's sacrificial, so is Mayo. And he'll take these 2 years of being bad, and they'll fire him to go get the next guy when they're ready to, you know, to go up with Drake May. That's just the way it rolls. And
yes.
Unfortunately, Mayo probably should have known that before he took the gig. But you love it because you're coming over. I mean, that's it, the Patriots are you. What, he come over from D.C.? I mean, you're going to take the gig. But unfortunately, he's going to be the same sort of sacrificial lamb that Jacoby Brissett will be.
Exactly. He'll
take a beating.
He looks kind of over his
skis. He knows
skis.
It's a no-win situation for him.
Yeah.
This ain't a D'Amico Ryans type deal where you can turn it around
right,
in one season. They don't have anything down there around Drake May.
Right.
Hell, if you wanted to play, and then you play him and make a decision, you go, oh, you're going to Trump front office, let's play Drake May because I want to win right now, and he'll win over the locker room. Bro, you get him hurt or whatever, they'll fire you before the season's over.
Yeah.
So he's stuck, man. It's a tough deal because that's his organization. And yes, you want to take it when it's offered to you, but I would tell you it's a no-win situation for Mayo.
Yeah, I think it is. But
he won't make it all the way through.
I would not start Drake May. There's no doubt about
that. I'm with you there.
And then finally, Seth Hennigan would be better for Mike Norvell than DJU.
Damn. He'd take a few more shots, I think.
That he would.
The only thing that DJU has on Seth is that he looks he 6'5", 250. You know, he looks the part. Other than that, man, I'll take Seth all day long. A gamer, you know, he's going to run the system. Not just all going to be dink and dunk. He's going to take the right amount of chances downfield. And does Seth's arm, you know, does it leave a little bit left to be desired in terms of big NFL arm? Sure. But Seth Hennigan is a great college football quarterback. And he's proven now over multiple years he's better than DJ Uiagalelei.
Yeah, that's a.
It's weird. Uiagalelei is a tease, is what he is, because
he
looks it.
No doubt.
And you say, well, I'm going to be the guy that gets it right with him, that puts him in the right system.
Yep.
Sure, that's what Mike was saying. Mike, to this point, Mike might have been better off throwing the money at Seth or someone like him.
Well, he was in the right situation last year with Jonathan Smith, and perhaps it was telling that he didn't go with him to Michigan State.
Mm.
You know? Because that was a system that worked for him. He had his best year of his career, you know, from where I sit. 21 touchdowns, 7 picks, highest pass rating of a full season there for him, 145. You know, and you know, didn't follow Jonathan Smith to Michigan State. So I think that was the thing. I was on BetQL on a show this weekend where before that game kicked off, I said, listen, I think he was in a good system that was tailored for him last year, and now he's not. I mean, it's that we know Norvell is going to air that thing out. So maybe they figured out, and maybe, you know, you needed some game action to kind of see, all right, this is what I need to do versus, you know, practice. But it's not promising. It is not promising whatsoever for them. I mean, you had playoff hopes. You're top 10 in the country. They're not going to the playoff. I mean, I see no way with that. I mean, you've already lost one game to an unranked opponent. You lose another one, it's over, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be.
For them.
So.
Well, we expect Clemson to certainly have something to say, and then maybe this is the year for your Miami team. A lot of people like Miami.
Yeah.
But it looks like they're going to get overtaken just in the ACC alone.
Exactly.
Forget the whole chance of CFP, yeah.
So you've got Clemson at home, Miami on the road.
And Georgia Tech's beat.
You're at Notre Dame. I mean, you're going to lose one of those. So, I just don't feel like two losses.
Notre Dame has to beat you for its playoff.
Exactly
hopes.
Right.
It has to, because it doesn't get the conference championship game.
Exactly right. It was almost, by the way, a rough welcome for SMU to the ACC. They found a way, but my
God. I read about it, but I didn't see that one. It was one of the few I couldn't get to.
Yeah, they were trailing. They were trailing big at the half, and they found a way to outscore Nevada 16-0 in the fourth.
We got that offense, baby. Who's my quarterback down there?
It's Preston Stone.
That's him.
Yeah.
That's him.
But it did not look great. Although they're 1-0.
We got back on track. That's what Norvell needed to do. They went ugly.
They were at Nevada for some reason. Now, why they were, I have no clue. But they were playing at Nevada. So that was a strange one. 27.5 point favorites they were in that game.
Ooh.
That would have been quite the upset had Nevada been able to hold on.
That's hard. They will not be an embarrassment going over to the ACC, though. They're gonna do pretty well.
Yeah. Anyway, there you have it. That's this Monday's edition of Cap or No Cap. Got Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock. Jason Fitz 125. Stick around. Jason John, 99 FM, ESPN.
Heard us talk a lot about FanDuel. They're America's number one sports book. They're number one because of things like this. Right now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5. Get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Again, just $5. And get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket. Then, with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and current form of payment. You can cancel at any time. Get uncomfortable, cancel. Just visit FanDuel.com/JSmith to download America's number one sports book. That's FanDuel.com/JSMITH. Thank you for using the promo code. It's only on FanDuel Sportsbook, official partner of 929 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN. We were talking about the Patriots preseason that was on Sunday Night Football. That, again, if you avoided it, I will say,
it was sounds smart that we.
Chris Collinsworth would not stop raving about Joe Milton. He would not. I mean, it was like one of his paths. He was like, "I gotta tell you about this." You know how he does, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I gotta tell you about this guy right here.
This
he
guy.
Walks in and it's just 6'4", 250, and he has the whatever. Like
that was good.
It was awful. It could be better, but yes. It's really not worth applause. It was really not. But I appreciate the sentiment.
No, we could hear it.
He was just raving, though. He was just
asking. Of course he was, because he sees something that no one else has. May have it. Everybody's been saying that about Joe Milton his entire career.
What's the thing he does? He laughs. He's like, that's what he did. And Tariqa goes, what's so funny? And he's just like, that arm. I mean, he was definitely wowed by him last night. Although Joe Milton could not will the Patriots to a victory last night.
Well, you telling me he didn't throw for 3 touchdowns?
Nah, man. But he.
Remember, you were raving about him after week 1.
He needs Shanahan. If he gets Shanahan, then maybe.
Okay.
But honestly, if anybody gets Shanahan, then maybe.
Right.
So that's not really saying all that much. If he gets Steichen, if he gets Shanahan, he's got to get in the right system. But that appears to be not the case. All right, I want to give you a couple of preseason. Let's go over some preseason opinions. How about that?
Okay,
you like that?
Yes.
I watched damn near every. I will say I was like, okay, I'm tired of watching.
I didn't watch last night, but I feel like I watched
stringers.
A lot.
Here's one of my preseason takes. Here's my uh, Here's maybe my overarching that's going to surprise
Number
you.
Number one.
It's going to surprise you. Anthony Richardson is not ready.
Welcome to the club.
He's not ready. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed that he has not looked better. But, you know, obviously he played Thursday, and I was not here on Friday. And he had that pick six. Had a great touchdown drive that was scripted, looked amazing against second teamers. And then on the second drive, he throws a pick six that was either a poor throw or a poor route, one or the other. Either way, you know, you're the QB and you throw it, and you have to understand whether or not he's going where he's supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw it, and it was a pick six against the second teamer. I think what you might say is that, well, he's not running the ball because it's not regular season yet. So that's something to consider. He'll run the ball more. But, you know, that's not what you want him to be doing. You don't necessarily want him to be running all the time.
Well, that's what got him put out last year.
Yes. So, you know, at some point, he's going to have to develop and turn into a guy that can stand back there and make plays with his arm consistently. And I just don't know, man. I don't know that he's there. I really don't think he's there. And so I think the Colts, like, week one, Texans, I know it's there. I know it's Indianapolis, but Texas minus two is very intriguing to me. Very intriguing. I haven't bet it yet.
What are you waiting on?
But I think I might. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I'm sorry, because I know this one's personal. You were higher on him.
I thought
Steichen.
I thought last preseason people were hard on him, and then he looked pretty good his first season before he got hurt, and he just has not. He comes back. He looks like he hasn't developed, and that kind of concerns me a little bit. The
guy's not played enough football.
Right.
I lived it with Trubisky.
No, you're right, and he hasn't. And he may never play enough football, right?
Maybe.
I mean, that's, you know.
If he doesn't stay healthy, they're going to force him out there, though.
Hasheem Thabeet never played enough basketball.
Stop.
I'm just saying. He's better than Hasheem Thabeet, but the same logic applies. I have made one week one NFL bet.
Wiseman is better.
Yeah.
Wiseman and okay. Playing college basketball.
That. Yeah. That's
games.
Better. Yeah.
Yeah. Got hurt.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Cincinnati Bengals -9 against the Patriots.
I like it.
Gerard Mayo is out here saying all kinds of stuff that he doesn't know who the starter is. That's a mess.
I'm worried about Jamar and getting hurt early after you hold out, but that's something you can apply to all these guys. CD's the same thing.
That's right.
But they're ready. They'll be ready once they're different once Jamar's there.
So that's my number one takeaway. My number one takeaway is Anthony Richardson.
Well, it's kind of weird that's number one for you.
It's the one I'm most disappointed about.
Because I would tell you in the same division, there's a quarterback who I also had my doubts about, and I'm continuing to have my doubts about Anthony Richardson, but one who is turning me and continued to turn me this weekend was Will Levis, Mr. Mayonnaise.
Will Levis.
You know he's smelling like
don't
that
draft
mayonnaise.
Him. Don't draft him in your fantasy.
We didn't say anything about fantasy.
Okay.
I'm just talking about maybe, perhaps, being the guy for Tennessee that everybody, a lot of Titans fans have told me, no, Jason, you're wrong on him. We like him. He's a leader. You know, I've always talked about it in terms of taking care of the ball, going back to Kentucky. Does he value it enough? He gets a little, you know, he'll turn it over. But Will Levis is a leader. They believe in him. And that offense looked a lot better than I expected it to look. That final preseason game. They were using Pollard very well. He got it to Ridley. Welcome back. I texted my dad, because obviously they open up with at Chicago. Uh-huh. Texted my dad, man, we can't go in there half-stepping thinking that the Titans are just going to lay down. That offense, Callahan, I give him credit. They're coming into 2024. They're leaving the old play action. We're going to run it down your throats, boring offense. They're throwing it around, and it looks like Will Levis, man, can do a little something.
Yeah.
I'm not completely convinced.
Yep.
But I'm going close to that side. Andrew Rich got a lot more to prove. Will Levis may be showing it right now.
You like Pollard in that offense now, too?
What I watched for it quite specifically was how they would use Tony in the red zone. And he punched one in. Listen, the Titans have got an unbelievably young but talented offensive line. And if it comes together, then yeah. Because Dallas last year, you know, having Pollard, when you get in the red zone, is he going to be a guy that can punch it through the tackles year-round? You know, is he built for that? I've never thought he was. I've always thought of as the compliment back. But I watched him as the main back, and they were able to punch it in with him. They're going to use a lot of spears, and so hopefully you can keep, you know, Tony healthy. Mm-hmm. They used him out of the backfield on the screens. I mean, Tony's still Tony. Yeah, I tell you what, he had it. He had his little juke and jive back, too. He looked really good.
Yeah,
I was down on them 6.5. I was under easy. Yeah. Now I'm not so sure.
Yeah, no, it'd be interesting.
They could win 7 games.
In that division, I will say the preseason I've liked the preseason of the Jags. I've liked what I've seen. Now, I mean, with them, it's more of an internal thing. They didn't go out and they didn't add a ton. You know, I mean, they drafted Brian Thomas. There might have been one more guy that they added that I'm blanking on. But they didn't do a ton is the point. They're like, yo, we had an underwhelming season last year. Trevor was kind of banged up. We probably were feeling ourselves a little too much after the prior year.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like them as a third-place schedule having team in the AFC South. Obviously, you know, it would be fun to see, you know, Trevor versus CJ for the crown. Like if there was a game that could decide that, that sure. would be awesome. I could see that happening, honestly. But yeah, I mean Levis, I'm decently like,
and he has some good games last year. I mean, yeah,
yeah, there, like
there,
that.
There
Dolphins
were some things
game.
To like last year, the Dolphins game.
Like the thing about Levis, I like is that he's just a gamer. That's how it feels to me. Like watching him, like he's. You know, and maybe that's almost minimizing him a little bit because his arm talent is there. You know, like he made a couple of throws yesterday.
Yeah. And looks the part. He's huge.
Yeah, man. He's a big dude. Yes. So, yeah, look, I think he showed a lot last year. And, you know, you bring in Ridley and you know, that offense and Hopkins when he's healthy. Like, I mean, there's really no reason that they should not be. Now, the defense will be a problem. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Yeah, you got Simmons, but that's about it. You know, that's they're definitely going to get scored on, but...
Well, we're going to see.
I mean, I honestly think, you know, there's really no excuse for you guys not to cover that number.
What's that number going to be?
Four and a half.
They're already out?
Yeah, these have been out since June.
Oh, okay.
Come on, it's NFL week one. Biggest sport in the world.
The ones in June don't matter as much. So much can change. Caleb could have been hurt, gone for the season.
Yeah, no, but it's 4.5. And a lot of people like the Titans with that number, but I just... This is not a... People have to remember, like they're used to the Titans in these Mike Vrabel type games, competing and maybe winning, right? Like Mike Vrabel had that. I don't know what it was, but he was so good in these kinds of games, keeping the games close, winning them. Vrabel's gone. We don't know that Callahan's going to have the same ability to do that.
I like Callahan.
Interesting.
So far,
I'm just less sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think he has a chance. I'm not going to write him off.
Derek won a bunch of games for him.
Exactly right. Yeah, I mean, it's a
trench warfare type
I mean, it's
deal.
A completely different team, you know, in terms of how they're going to win and what they're going to do. I mean,
but to do that in today's day and age, they had to evolve.
You're right.
I agree with that.
100%. Decision to do that.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying, like,
Will may be able to handle
I think the people who are, like, looking at this game and they're saying that the Tennessee Titans are a great play at 4.5, they're just sort of...
Old name brands.
They're remembering like the 2019 Titans that like that's not who these guys are anymore. I mean, they could cover it, but it'll be a very different way. It's going to be Levis, and I just think your defense is better than it's getting credit for right now. You know, I think
not if they don't find another guy on the. You don't realize how few sacks we had last year,
even with Sweat.
Yeah, not if they don't find another guy opposite Sweat. You saw
who
them
is
doing
right
a bunch
now?
Of trading, dude. We got a bunch of Austin Booker as a rookie.
Oh my God!
We just traded for a guy from Seattle, a linebacker, and a Cleveland DT. We don't like what we've got up there at all. Opposite Sweat and on that interior line.
Yeah, I mean,
so we don't get a pass rush other than Sweat. That's the issue. That's what Courtney talked about last week.
Right.
That's everybody, like Courtney said. Everybody talking about Bears having a top five defense. Hold on.
Right. Let's see
what they do on the other side of Sweat.
Yeah. I'm trying to think like what else from the preseason. So I'm ambivalent about the Titans. I'll say like the Steelers.
I feel better about the Titans. I think their stock's up.
I say the Steelers. I feel a little worried about.
Yeah.
I think we kind of went over that.
I disagree with Jeff. I think they should go ahead and start Justin Fields.
It don't matter to me. It really don't matter. Here's another one. I think people are losing their minds about the Broncos. I will say that. I think you know this whole Bo Nix train that where he's now 9-1 and everybody's like hammer the over the wins like people don't watch these games. Bo Nix has never in any of these preseason games been playing a first team defense, not one time.
Yeah.
So of course he's going to look great. I mean he's a top 12 pick. If he doesn't look great against second and third team defenses, then you completely whiffed on that selection. I'm just not ready to crown him at all. you know, as the next great rookie. I mean, can you? I can't actually think of a rookie quarterback that looked bad in the preseason. They all looked good. Even Spencer Rattler, you know, who was drafted in the fifth round. Mm-hmm. Even he looked good. Everybody's saying he needs to be the starter over Derek Carr.
No.
And it's like Joe Milton looked good. Drake May looked good. Jaden Daniels looked good. Caleb Williams looked good. Everybody looked good. You know, they've been taking turns on these second and third team Shiv defenses. So you just can't. You cannot. There were only maybe a couple of defenses I know for sure that actually showed something. I know of one. It was the Bills in week two against the Steelers. Well, they held them to three. McDermott was showing stuff. He was playing regular season defense. Everybody else was not. Everybody else was just trying to get through the preseason and not really care that much. So you're going to see, and you know this, but like, it's going to look a whole hell of a lot different once the regular season starts in terms of how good these rookie quarterbacks will be.
Well, not when they're playing the Raiders. I'm going up and down the field on y'all.
Yeah, I mean, our secondary is a mess.
You guys are like twos and threes.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, our starters got outplayed by the second team of Dallas. That is a fact. I mean, so that one. Now, we didn't have Devontae. I will say that. We were missing Devontae. And Brock Bowers is hurt, so give us a little bit of time to get on the men here. Low on them. Low on the Steelers. I was low on Broncos, still low on Broncos. Very low on Patriots. You know, and the rest of it's like, I don't know. It's hard to be too high on anybody, like, because nobody really – the good teams don't show. Like, Jalen Hurts didn't play. Burrow played one drive. Herbert didn't play. You know what I'm saying? Trying to think who were the other, like, contenders here. Josh Allen, I think, played maybe a half a drive. So you just don't see anything. But 2 weeks. We're 2 weeks away officially.
Cut down day is tomorrow.
Cut down day is tomorrow. That's when Jerod Mayo will reveal to you his starter.
Okay. And Tomlin's waiting until the end of the week. I think I read.
Yeah.
Why?
Just a tough decision.
Just want to keep whoever they've got on their toes. I have no idea who Pittsburgh
is. Yeah. I mean, which guy?
Irrelevant.
I mean, it's going to be Russ, bro.
No.
It is. It's going to be Russ. You know it is. That's how Tomlin is. He wants a guy that he can trust.
The dude has done zero in the preseason. I mean zero. At least Fields has given you some big plays.
Yeah.
Whether it's with the leg or, you know, buying himself some extra time, make a play with the arm. I mean, he hadn't been great. He's fumbled the ball on snaps, but there's more there. How can you convince a locker room you are really trying to win rolling out, oh, sorry dog, Russell Wilson?
I mean, I don't think it matters who it is.
Fields is the pick.
I mean,
he should be the pick.
It's all bad. It's all bad for them in Pittsburgh. Anyway, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Stick around. Jason and John, Turner FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.